Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to 34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the days is evil thereof. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. God, I ask you right now to touch and move in this house. I thank you for what I feel. God, I'm excited for what you're going to do. Hallelujah. You're going to meet needs. Hallelujah. There's deliverance that needs to take place. Lord God, there's healing that needs to take place. Oh God, there's salvation, Lord, that needs to take place in this place. God, I believe in you right now. Speak to us in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. Serving two masters is impossible. Serving two masters is impossible. I ask you tonight, folks, what do we really need? What do we really need? I'm not asking you what you want. There's a lot of things we all want. What do you really need? Now look, I believe our society that we live in is based on acquisition of things, especially when it comes to wealth. We are concerned about what we do not have, especially people who are considered to be the have-nots. Jesus is saying that it doesn't matter how hard we try to get things. We cannot accumulate more than what God can provide for us. You see, if we die, what good will earthly things be? After all, we can't take them with us. Anybody ever seen a U-Haul truck at a funeral? You can't take it with you, folks. What Jesus is saying in the scripture of Matthew is that we must put first things first. In other words, we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And we must do this every day. To seek the kingdom, we must first seek the kingdom. We must first seek his righteousness. In other words, we are to be seeking God's character within us, not God's control over us. It is our job, folks, to serve God. And God's job is to supply us with what we need, not the other way around. Listen, God will supply us with what we really need if we put our trust in him. Now, we don't need everything we want, and we don't want everything we need. But let me understand me tonight, folks. God doesn't give us everything we need. Amen? The baby boomers and their young rivals, the Generation Xers, have a lot more in common than conventional wisdom dictates. Here are some attitudes that they share. They feel betrayed by politics. They're strong supporters of environmentalist causes. They value happiness over financial reward because they are working longer and harder to meet their basic financial needs. They are liberated thinkers. These two generations have become servants of the system. And unfortunately, these two generations and these two following generations, the Y and the millennial generations, have all become servants of the system. And the ideologies that they are freely embraced in society are finding their way into thinking in church. It's being brought into the church. And the reality is that American culture has shaped our lives, folks, more than the Word of God. Today's Christian is influenced more by the world and by the spirit of the world than he or she is influenced by God. Come on. Hallelujah, folks. I'm telling you, we need to change our way of thinking. We need to understand what we really need, not what we want. Steve Gallagher said in his book, Intoxicated with Babylon, he said, life for the newly saved believer in the United States generally goes on much the same as it did prior to his confession of Christ as Lord of his life. And sadly, even after we are saved, we remain Americans first. You see, folks, you can be certain of this one thing. There is an all-out war for the heart and the mind of every single Christian. And we are admonished in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What this is clear-cut statement describes the fierce competition that goes on for the person's devotion, amen, or a person's heart, or a person's mind, folks. To put it bluntly, you are either devoted to God or you are not. And the telltale factor lies in the true interest of your life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure, folks, is simply that which is most valuable to you. I'm asking you tonight, what do you love more than God? Without exception, a person will be led throughout life by what he or she cherishes most. A person who is motivated and controlled by a deeper affection for anything other than God has become a servant of the system, a servant of the world. Now remember, folks, you cannot serve two masters. I said you cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. The problem of mastership is this. Everybody must choose a master. Amen? You can't sit back and say, well, I don't know. No. You must choose a master. What is your master tonight? What is most important to you? Is it a relationship? Is it your job? Is it financial status? Is it a nice home? Is it the fast car? What is your master tonight? Because everybody must choose a master. You see, it's going to be either God or materialism. As the word said, mammon. It cannot be both or nothing. The choice is man's. I'm telling you tonight, folks, the choice is yours. Everybody say, the choice is mine. It's your choice. You have to choose tonight. You can't sit back and say, oh, nothing. I'll just sit back. I'll sit this one out. Because that's how a lot of people are, folks. I'll just go along with whatever the crowd goes along with. No, you have to make a choice. Because you're the one that's going to stand before God. And he's going to say, but your choice was what? You chose what? And the Bible tells us that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess what? That he is Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Are you going to stand before him and say, you are Lord, and I am sorry I did not choose you? See, because if you choose another master tonight, and that thing, whatever it is, comes before God in your life, when you stand before him, you must admit, because the word of God says you will admit that he is Lord. Amen. And you're going to have to say, but I did not choose you. You cannot. It's impossible to serve two masters. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When you start making decisions in your life, and that's what I said earlier, I hope and pray that every one of these young people and every one of these children, when it comes time to stand up and make a decision for themselves, that they will make the right choice. I'm telling you, young people, I pray for you that God gets a hold of you. I pray, young children, that God gets a hold of you, because I want you to make the right choice. But when you make that choice, you might think that you're going to serve. Well, in time, I'm going to just have a little bit of fun right now. But I'll choose God. Let me tell you something. The longer you go without making the choice to serve Jesus Christ, the more impossible it is to come back. Because you get tangled in the world. You get tangled in the things of the world. And it gets harder and harder to get out of it. Tangled webs. Come on, ladies, you comb your hair, you get it tangled. It's hard to get it out sometimes. You look at the root systems that get into things and around things. You get tangled in these things. It is harder that every day you stay away from it. It is harder to go back where you need to be. And you know you need to be. You have to make the right choice. Why do we want to get all the world, the garbage, tangled in ourselves? Why do you want to have all that graffiti all over you? Everybody must choose a master. You see, it's going to be either God or materialism. God or your own interest. It cannot be both or nothing. Hear me. It cannot be both or nothing. But it's your choice. But the consequences are predetermined not by you. It's your choice. But the consequences are determined by God. See, well, I can do whatever I want. Yeah, you can. But your consequences don't belong to you. They belong to God. He's already predetermined what the consequences. It's already in the book. The person whose Lord is Christ is the rewards of an abundant life, according to John chapter 10. And peace of heart in spite of tribulation, according to John chapter 14. But the person whose God is mammon, money, materialism, your own interest, the things that the spirit of this world will live, hear me tonight, you will live in constant anxiety. Constant. Anxiety. No one, hear me tonight, can serve two masters. It's impossible. There cannot be two heads on one body. That would be a freak or a monster. Come on. We cannot divide our lives into spiritual and material components. You see, soul, spirit, and body combine to make one person. Therefore, we can have only one master. Our modern day Christianity, folks, has elevated concern about the body and the material things so high that spiritual concerns have become secondary. Instead of our focus being on if you'll give God, God will bless you abundantly, a lot of times our focus should be on Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me tell you something. There's a problem sometimes when it comes to our priorities. The second verb, love and hate, the two verbs, love and hate, stand in contrast of degree. The one He will love more than the other. In Luke 14:26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now listen, the reason these two entirely opposite words are used, love and hate, is to indicate how tremendously greater our love for God should be. God doesn't want you to hate anybody, but He's trying to make a point here. He's trying to show you how tremendous your love for Him should be. The requirement to hate father and mother, wife and children, or one's own life in Luke 14 means that all earthly ties and love must be subordinate to the love of Jesus Christ. Love for God should and must come first. Nothing should take the place of God in any person's life. You see, folks, when Jesus is the sole master of our lives, He gives us a balanced view of all else. It's only a good thing to put Him first. It only will bless your life. It will only bless your spouse. It will only bless your children. It will only bless your mother and your father. It will only bless your neighbor. When Jesus is the sole master of our life, folks, He gives us a balanced view of all else. He gives you a balanced view of your relatives, of your material things, of your work, of your sufferings, of your sickness, of your health, of your abundance. Amen. It'll give you a balanced look at everything when you put Him first. You see, human relatives must not have the same priority in our lives as the Lord does. I don't care if you believe it or not. I said your human relatives must not have the same priority in your life as God does. Come on. In Luke 14, Jesus told us that unless we hate our relatives, we are not worthy of being His followers. Ultimately, folks, as Jesus explained to us in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So, our love for our relatives should not lessen. Hear me. I said our loves for your relatives should not lessen. Rather, our love for Christ should greatly exceed the family. Come on. You see, among our relatives also, there is a grading of priorities. Right? Our spouse is the first human priority. Then come the children, then the grandchildren. Oh, you get quiet on me here. I said, our spouse is the first human priority. Then comes the children, then the grandchildren. If it's not that way, you're wrong. If you love your children more than your spouse, something's wrong. If you put your children before your spouse, something's wrong. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why that's not good. Because your children are going to leave you someday. Your spouse will still be there. Come on. And you made a vow before God. Oh, come on, folks. I'm telling you, you better understand your obligation to your spouse. Listen, one does not equate the kind of love meant for the children with the special love for the spouse. Oh, you guys are quiet. I'll say it again. One does not equate the kind of love meant for the children with the special love of a spouse. Let me tell you something. If that is not in line, what I just said, you're doing your children a disfavor. The best thing you can do, other than loving God, is love your spouse in front of your children. Come on. The best thing you can do, other than loving God, is loving your spouse in front of your children. Come on. You see, our parents, and then come other relatives, all these things need to be less than God. God needs to be first. That's the best thing you can do for any relative. Put God first. Listen, the word translate other in Matthew 6:24 means another of a different quality. Christ declares that mammon cannot be given the same importance as God. The two are fundamentally different. You see, folks, God deserves first place because He is the cause and He is the sustainer of all things. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 55 verse 22. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You see, when God is not first in our lives, amen, we become so confused in our thinking that we lose perspective and we live in constant anxiety. Why do you think the world is said, you hear anxiety all the time in people's lives? It's because they don't have a God that is first in their life. They don't have a God that can lead them by the word of God. They don't have a pastor in their life. I'm telling you, the world is full of anxiety. Loving material things more than God is not like loving your children more than your spouse who gave you the children. The problem of anxiety is, folks, as E. Stanley Jones said in his book, The Christ of the Mount, writes, worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Gordon MacDonald, in his book, Better Than Gold, wrote, no man ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear. You see, striving to serve two masters causes anxiety in our lives. Amen. When God is our master, He supplies our every need, including our material needs. To be certain, folks, the body has physical needs, and we must not neglect the body's needs. The phrase translated, take no thought, means do not continually be anxious. You ever heard? In Matthew 6:31, the Lord says that there will not be a single thing we shall not be anxious about. There is not any particular instance that should make us anxious. There was a song that became popular a number of years ago that carried a very simple message. It said, don't worry, be happy. Come on. Freedom from anxiety presupposes that God being our Father. Listen, if you become a child of God by receiving His Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then there should not be a thing to worry about. Come on. I heard this and I've said it for years. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, don't get you anywhere. You just sit there and rock back and forth. That's what worry does. In John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you make Jesus your soul master, you have a promise, folks, that all of your needs should be met. Therefore, you will have no need to be anxious for anything. Stand with me. Think about it. Why should a child of God, whose master made everything that was ever made, provide everything and controls everything, worry about anything? Think about it. He made everything there is that to be made. He provides everything. He controls everything. Why should you worry about anything? He loves you. He wants to be your master. You cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. But listen to me. If you serve Jesus Christ, the true master, he promises, his promise, folks, is that you shall have peace that passes all understanding. That's a promise to you. I love his promises. I talked about it this morning. If you were here, listen to it online. Folks, God gives us promises. If we will live for him, if we will put him first in our lives, if he can be our master, if we will obey him. The master provides everything. Provides everything. You know what? When the Queen of Sheba came and saw Solomon and how great and massive everything was and all the beauty that to behold, she said, the eyes cannot, I just can't take it all in. Words can't describe it. But what was she looking at? She was looking at servants that were happy to serve the master. Because the master, amen, not only did they serve the master, but the master took care of them. He provided. That's why they can be happy. And that's what God wants in your life, folks. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to understand how important it is to put him first. Amen. He wants you to understand you cannot serve two masters. He is a jealous God. He says, if you just listen, if you just serve me, if you just allow me to be your master, if you will be obedient to my word, I'll take care of you. Matthew 6:33 is something that I've lived by. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things can be yours. They'll be added. And so often we're God, you're not fast enough. I got to go get this. I got to take care of that. I got to get this done. I got to do that. When all you need to do is serve him. I want you to come up here tonight and make a choice tonight. Who your master is. When you leave here, you're leaving with your confidence of who your master is.